So, Jed, when was the last time that you complained and got your way?
Well, as a man, I fall into the category of between never and never ever.
So the only way that you can do it is if you become a baseball player, apparently.
Yes. When you're not, you don't feel like playing for the same team anymore because some of your buddies were traded away, and making $45 million for the next few years just isn't quite enough.
Of course, we're talking none other than the famous Kristen Yelich, or the quiet one.
Yes, Whisperich.
Whisperich, who, you know, breaking news, you know,
that's
depending.
Right. We're the first, John. We're on it. We're the first podcast.
Within the hour. A little
like
over
those,
an hour.
Remember people used to do that on the internet when someone would post something
first.
New, but first, that's us.
Yay.
Of course, people are going to listen to this by, you know, next week or whatever. Because you'll have it up by March, I assume.
Yeah, it'll be up. Yeah. They'll be able to look back and go, sounds like you guys were first.
Oh, right. Those guys were first. This makes this a more special listening experience.
It's like, didn't he get traded last week? Yes, he did.
Why are these guys all excited? This happened a month ago.
Yeah, we're excited because this is like the first big thing to happen in a month.
What is strange is that the only really interesting things happening this offseason are trades.
Yeah, not right. A lot of signings. And
yeah,
it's all Scott Boras's fault. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, sure it is. I think he's not quite playing the 3D chess that everyone thinks he's playing.
He's just looking for the big payday. But we'll get to
him. You know what? The thing is, the owners don't want to hear it anymore. You know why? Because this is Trump's America. And the owners are in charge. And they're not going to listen to Scott Boras. Yeah, I said it, John. Bore ass. Actually, I don't really have a problem with him. He makes a lot of money for players, and they deserve it.
Yeah, you better hope he's not listening.
But he is kind of an a-hole. But that's what you want as an agent, right?
No,
like
absolutely.
You want your agent to be an a-hole, and that's okay, perfect.
Yeah. No, he said his job is to make sure his players get paid the most money they possibly can make, and he's ripping on the owners for sitting back and, do you want to talk about it now since we're talking about it?
Wow, we are talking about baseball.
Right away.
To start off our baseball podcast. What's going on? Up is down? Black is white?
Inside is
Trump
out.
Trump is president?
When did this happen? Oof. Wow. What a flurry. I mean, you'd smoke a cigarette. So I guess the thing, well, let's just do our normal.
We'll do the show. Let's
thing.
Do the show,
yeah,
right?
The
like,
thing.
What's
it's
the name of the show,
episode,
John?
It's episode 53 of Foul Territory, a baseball podcast. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And I don't have a number, 53. I didn't come up with one for this week.
How about just like player to be named later?
There we go. That's good.
53 feels like it's in that range or those
it's getting up there. I think there's not a lot of numbers that are higher than in the 50s. So I think we're dwindling supply.
Yeah.
Although we have Carlton Fisk coming up at 72 at some point. His White Sox number, that is.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'll make a mental note, John.
Right.
Sometime in what, August?
We've got a ways to go. So, yeah, so we, you know, talking a little bit about Kristen Yelich and the big to-do for the day. And, you know, it was nice to see all of the talking heads, the baseball writers and out there getting their scoops, getting all jazzed up and frothing at their Twitter feed. Haven't seen that in a while.
I mean, it's really sad out there, John. I mean, obviously it's sad in here on this podcast as well, because, like, what are we going to talk about? There's not much going on. Right. Also, Trump's not being quite as crazy, so we can't even really talk about that. And the people aren't other politicians aren't being quite as crazy responding to him. Though a little bit, you know, the Schumer thing.
And the shutdown was
the shutdown.
Was avoided.
It was kind of a thing. But
kind
yeah.
of a thing, but not really, because you knew they were going to resolve it. It's like watching a movie that you've seen before.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, all right. Yeah. Okay. What are they going to just not have government? I mean, part of me is kind of like, yeah, let's do it. Let's see how that works. I'm kind of in.
Let's see how far it goes.
Yeah.
Parks will be closed. Government post office will shut down. Mayhem.
Right.
It's not like they're shutting down the electrical grid or anything. Although that could happen.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like roads are, you know, like
disintegrating,
evaporating, right? Or like self-combusting. Like, oh no, the tunnel, the Holland Tunnel is now filled with water.
Although that could happen. Infrastructure.
No, it is an infrastructure thing, and it's one of the things that gets overlooked a little bit in post-apocalyptic movies, is actually just how bad everything would really become. Like, it gets bad in post-apocalyptic, but like there's stuff that's like way bad. Like these cars driving around with gasoline, there ain't no gasoline, man. Gasoline goes bad like in 3 months.
Yeah, it's just sitting on the...
I don't know why I care about this.
Cars parked on the highway?
Yeah.
This feels like an episode of The Walking Dead.
Exactly. Tunnels underwater, you know what? They're filled with water.
Right. They're good. I guess they would be good for scuba diving, maybe.
That could be a fun show. Post-apocalyptic scuba.
Yeah, through the Holland Tunnel. Yeah, good times. Something to look forward to. It'll be on Netflix soon.
I'm into that. Though I will say, speaking of the Holland Tunnel, I do miss New York a bit.
Yeah. You having the feels?
Being here in L.A. where the weather's always so pleasant and, I don't know. Well, who cares? Do you care? I'm like, wait a minute. Do I even care about this? But I do miss New York. I miss living in that, fun, active, stinky town.
Yeah, because if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that. Yeah. And also, you said just enough that we don't have to pay a licensing fee.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't sing it. I was out of tune.
I think you can sing like a few seconds.
And then you're good. You're okay. But if you just recite the words, is that still?
I think you can recite the words, but I mean, you got to be careful. As soon as you hit a tune, man.
We got to pay somebody.
We added something in Nowhere Girl where one of the actors did something like, da 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 dun dun dun. And it was like, oh, it's very close to the minute you walked through the door. Right. It was close to it, but wasn't close enough. And it was really only like 7 seconds.
So and who looks at that to question it?
People look, man.
Wow.
You'd be surprised.
Well, I know that like YouTube now has it set up that it can read music. And if you have a song and you register a song, it will automatically flag it whenever it's used.
Yeah. We had a couple songs in the trailer for Nowhere Girl that we had the licensing cleared on, but they showed up as flagged. We kept them as flagged because all it does is put a link to for someone to be able to buy that person's song. Like, yeah, okay, I don't mind if someone buys this person's song.
Right, no, it's not.
We didn't pay for the music.
Right.
But that was our deal, was we didn't pay for it. That's our contract. You know how important contracts are, John.
Very important. Just like the cheap contract that Christian Yelich signed, 7-year deal for $49
million. Yes.
So the Brewers definitely making out with this. They had a surplus of outfielders, and I think that the Brew crew looks, and especially if they sign Yu Darvish, they're kind of making a statement.
If they sign Darvish or Arrieta, mm-hmm. I'm intrigued. Lance Lynn, not so intrigued, but still, they have a solid rotation already, pitching rotation. And they have a really cool offense.
Yeah.
Sorry, I turned away for a second there. They have a really cool offense. And who did they give up in this trade? We have it in here, right? Brinson is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Brinson is like a top 20 prospect. And then Monty Harrison's like a top 50, 60. And then Isan Diaz is, depending on who's talking about him, anywhere from a 70 to 100.
Within the Brewers organization, they were all within the top 14. So organizationally, they definitely
yeah. But that doesn't have any context.
No,
because if you got three of the top 14 prospects from the Mariners, you'd kill yourself. Right. Like you could give all
like
14
the
Mariners,
like the
Marlins. Exactly, or if the Marlins gave the top three players,
you'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Bucket of baseballs. Hey, you know what's interesting? This is a little bit of a side note. You know what farm team has turned itself around pretty impressively is the Angels.
Really?
And not just because of Ohtani and Kevin Maitán, but they actually have like, I don't know, 20 good players. I mean, not whatever, good. They have like 20 like respectable players that would be in other teams' top 20s.
I wonder who was looking through the list that came out last weekend.
John, I told you in the last podcast, this is all I'm going to be doing now. Baseball America came out with their top 100. MLB's got theirs rolling out. They got their number 100, their top 100 coming out on Saturday. Keith Law at ESPN, his has already come out. This is all I'm doing right now.
How many services do you subscribe to? Do you have any paid for subscriptions?
I only subscribe to RotoWire.
Okay.
And the guy that does the prospects for that does sort of like a rolling all year top 400. That's James Anderson. He's great. He does prospects from the view of fantasy prospects. So like he completely strips out the defensive value, except in the fact of like, if he's so bad defensively, he won't actually play. Mm-hmm. But they don't like a great example is the difference between the prospects like J.P. Crawford for the Phillies and Carlos Correa. 3 years ago, they were considered very equal prospects. But Carlos Correa was definitely considered a better hitting prospect, and Crawford has a better defensive game. Correa turned out to be whatever, near MVP pretty caliber good. Or whatever. But just in terms of how the players are valued, when you're looking at usual lists, they do factor in the defense, and it's nice to, because I play fantasy baseball, I'm not ashamed. I'll admit it. But it's nice to have just a different perspective of, oh, like this guy is actually, you know, a top 20 if you strip out his defensive value. Mm-hmm. Like Manny Ramirez, great player, Hall of Fame player, IMO, as they say, IMHO, but the defense is so bad. Mm-hmm. Should be in the Hall of Fame. But we'll get into that later because there's a lot of should be in the Hall of Fames that aren't, and they're working on it. I will say Manny Ramirez played a fun left field for the Red Sox because everyone thought he was just slagging it out there. But he actually got a lot of assists because I think people were like, oh, I'll stretch this into a double. Because look, it's just Manny's jogging into the corner. But he had like this sneaky move where he would like, oh, I have the ball and I just threw you out.
Yeah, he always looked like he was definitely on Manny time. Kind of taking it easy, enjoying himself, looking at the fans.
Yeah.
Having a good old time.
And hitting the snot out of the ball.
Yeah. He's a good hitter for sure. Hall of Fame hitter, not a Hall of Fame defender.
It's interesting. Would he be in the Hall of Fame if he had played less outfield?
If he was a DH, for example.
Right.
Yeah. That's a whole debate that's been ongoing.
It's a whole
now.
Debate.
Yeah. So should we, since we're speaking of the Hall of Fame, start talking about the Hall of Fame?
Wait, we said the name of the show. We didn't do a number, but we said who we are. We did some sort of preamble stuff. Yeah, let's get into
it. And we mentioned Trump.
We mentioned
Any Devin Travis updates?
Devin Travis, no.
But I'm sure when we get to the starting nine, our favorite starting nine.
You bet your ass he's in there.
That's a little teaser, folks, if this is your first time listening. And if it is your first time, where have you been? And welcome to the show.
Yeah. Also, let's take a moment now. Please rate and review the podcast. You know, it just helps other people find it. You know,
tell your family and friends.
No. I'm not even saying that. Like, you don't want to take, like, open responsibility for letting other people know about the show and, like, and admitting to other people, confessing, if you will. Like, there's a lot of shame involved in this show. I understand. Okay. I've listened to this program. I understand.
It's a guilty pleasure, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to tell your friends.
Well, who
do you really listen to?
Baseball fans? We hardly ever talk about baseball. And then it's like pop culture fans, but then we start talking about baseball and who wants to listen to that?
True niche.
Really, it's shocking how poorly assembled this all is. But if you just do a nice review, you go in, 5-star, I will say some gentleman or gentlewoman or gentle person gave us a 4-star review on iTunes. And look, it's not going to upset me, all right? Or at least I should say I'm not going to let it upset me anymore. I'll only lose one night's sleep over this.
Because it wasn't 5 stars?
Look, if you're going to give us 4, why not just give us 5, babe? What's up? Why you gotta be accurate?
You know, I'm one of those people too. It's like a 5 means it's fantastic, and a 4 means there's room for improvement. And I would say there's always room. John, you don't understand the freaking internet. We've had this debate before.
This is how it is. 5 means it's okay. 4 means meh. 3 means it's trash. 2 means it's cancer. 1 means it's AIDS.
Is that officially documented out there?
That's
somewhere?
The official 5-star sequence, man.
So the 4 means we're borderline cancer. Almost.
No, it means we're okay.
We're okay. We're making it through the day.
Yeah.
Hey, there's not a lot of podcasts out there that can claim that they're on their 53rd episode.
That's right. Yeah. Not many people out there as intelligent as us.
Or stupid as us to keep slogging away.
As the fool doth return to his own folly, so do John and Jed to their podcast.
Well, you know, I think the good thing about it, though, is that we enjoy talking to each other, so we might as well document it.
Yeah, we kind of kill two birds with one stone
with this. Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, we're
going to
weekly check in anyway.
It's not like we're, you know, we turn on the mics and we're all, you know, fun and games. And when we turn off the mics, we never talk to each other. We, you know, we go off to our families and then we're like, oh, shit, I got to do that show with that dude again. No, we have, you know, it's more than that.
Yeah.
We play fantasy baseball together.
Can you hear that romantic music in the background?
This is the montage portion of the show.
Hold me closer, tiny dancer. Or Tony Danza, whichever.
Or Tony Danza, yes.
Yeah.
So Hall of Fame. That was the big news.
Yeah, kind of big news, and then like gone. Because no surprise, Chipper Jones, boom, first ballot. Vladimir Guerrero should have been first ballot. But he's in it like 92% or whatever.
Yep.
Jim Thome?
First ballot.
Boom. First ballot. He's in. Hall of Famer. Trevor Hoffman? Boom. Finally makes it. Hall of Famer.
Next.
And it's just kind of like, all right, well, what else is there? No real controversy there. Very exciting to see Mike Mussina and Edgar Martinez surge way up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Edgar's getting in in his last year next year.
Yeah, Wait, hold on.
I think he's getting in next year, which will be his last year of eligibility. I think he got enough this year to get him in next year.
And someone with comparable numbers is the crime dog as Martinez.
Don't get me started with the...
And he's like at 26%. Next year's his last year as well.
Crime dog isn't getting in. I told you all about this. Jim Tracy killed the crime dog. Just please.
But the numbers are the same.
The numbers are similar.
Yeah, very, very similar.
But they're not the same.
But you know, the big argument was that he played in the field and he was he was an elite defender in the field.
You want to say that?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man. I think when you say that the numbers are the same, I think you're looking at the wrong numbers.
No, I was looking at his WAR was comparable. His OPS was comparable. Did I say OBS on base percent? OBP.
His OPB, John. I
right,
know.
That's my thing.
Listeners of this show know what the OPB is.
Right. You're like not on the crime dog bandwagon?
I am not on the crime dog.
But you're on the Martinez bandwagon.
I'm definitely on the Martinez bandwagon.
And there are still people out there who don't think a DH only is worthy of inclusion in the Hall of Fame.
I think anyone who thinks that needs to shut up. Because even I've been guilty, John, of like, I'm not so excited about relievers being in the Hall of Fame. The bar is pretty low.
But the game has changed.
The game has changed, and they are in the Hall of Fame. So we need to contextualize it a little bit.
Yeah, it is interesting how people were kind of like, I guess it's okay Trevor Hoffman got in. He's got the longevity, but he's kind of, I guess. So it's almost like he survived and he made it. And, you know, if he's the second most saves, I guess that's not good enough for some people.
Well, I mean, like Lee Smith has like a ton of saves. Like the save is a trash statistic. Like it is completely just situational and controlled by managers. And, you know, like it's pushed for by sports writers and agents. Like it's a trash statistic.
Yeah. Because really what happens is there's not a lot of closers out there that dominate the game, and there are a few, dominate the game in a way that when it's just that close, if you have a crappy setup in the bullpen, your saves are going to be low. So you have to have a good overall bullpen. The bullpen has to take as much credit for the save statistics as the closer does. Because
you're exactly right, John. I'm surprised. Did you know that that is statistically backed up?
Yes. And I think...
Are you eye-testing this?
No. Statistically, and
okay, good.
Mostly,
it's accurate. And normally, you're not this accurate.
But one of the things from a
normally
from,
I have to chime in with like, well, actually, John.
Strictly from an eye test point of view, though, all you have to do is look over the last several seasons, and you can see that when the closer goes down, the next up goes in and is just as effective. There's very few elite closers, and there's
right.
like in the game today, what a couple, and like Chapman, for example, is up and down. And
Chapman, I don't know if he's still there, right? There's Kimbrel, right?
Yep.
Kenley Jansen, of course. Knable.
Yeah, but still, it's
basically it's people with K's in their name, right? Because they get strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy. So three of the best closers in baseball all have K's in their name.
That's what they do.
And they get lots of strikeouts.
That's what they do.
Wow.
They were born to be closers.
Wow.
Wow. That could
nice. I like it. This feels very dystopian.
It does. So this year's Hall of Fame announcement, there really wasn't, you know, a pins and needles feeling to it.
Right.
It pretty much was like, yeah, this is going to happen. We knew Guerrero should have got in last year. We knew he's going to get in this year. Right. Tomei and Chipper Jones were slam dunks. Hoffman, yeah. We all assumed. So it's like, so the last three years, we've had 9 people inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is quite a bit. And we had a little stretch. We had 1 year, what, about 5-6 years ago where nobody was inducted.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was when like the baseball writers community was shifting,
mm-hmm.
and they were starting to like, they were still under like the old rules of like what's a good player and how many home runs and how many RBIs and all that stuff. And I look at next year, and what do you got? You got Mariano, slam mm-hmm. dunk,
yeah,
right. The only reason why he won't be on every ballot is because there'll be some jerkwad who sends in a blank ballot because he wants to be that guy. And then there'll be some people who don't put him on because they want to vote in other people, knowing, of course, Mariano's going to get in.
Right.
Then there's Doc Holliday.
Who, for, what, six-year stretch or so, was the most dominant pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, and he, I don't want to say he was a slam dunk, but I feel like with the death, I feel like he's a slam dunk with the death.
Except for maybe the toxicology report kind of.
But it wasn't a Jose Fernandez situation.
No, no.
He was, I mean, these are all probably prescribed meds, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem with meds is you get one doctor to prescribe one thing, another doctor prescribes another thing. Now you're taking two things that they don't know how they mix, and right. you can ask Heath Ledger. And you can ask Tom Petty.
Yeah, it just came out this week. And you can,
that's right, Tom Petty, accidental overdose. He was on 5 different prescriptions.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of the most talented people on the planet, the most important people on the planet, need to die from these accidental overdoses before someone takes the drug companies to task on these things or doctors or whatever. Because look, hey, I love doctors and they're all basically good. But a lot of them are running scams. They're trying to make money.
Scripts.
And they're just writing scripts. And it's like, oh, like, I know, everyone knows someone who's been given a script for something where the doctor was just like, oh, hey, try this. Like, it's too, what's the word, arbitrary, right? Mm-hmm. There's not like, oh, look, you've got this thing inside your body. We're going to give you this medication to attack this thing. It's like, well, there's possibly chemicals in the brain that, these drugs, we do know that they are going to shift that a little, and well, it might cause suicidal impulses.
Right, but they cover that
whatever.
with their you know their fast talking at the end of the ads and the 2-page right. Disclaimers that are in every printed article or advertorial that they have about a drug.
And to be fair, dying does cure depression.
Wow, I'm going to prescribe that you die. So here's a
cocktail.
I'm just
saying, look, in the cosmic scheme of things, you will not be depressed if you are not.
Right. That's,
I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyway, it's upsetting. I you know, you look at Tom Petty, he's whatever, 69, 68 years old. And it's like, well, he's older. It could happen to anyone around that age. But to find out that like this guy was taken from us, taken from his fans, taken from the world, because of a bad mix, Michael Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm.
When is it going to stop? And like, you know, all these people who are taking drugs are just like, well, it won't happen to me.
Right. I got it under control. Well, Michael Jackson had his doctor.
Yeah, it won't happen to me because, well, that happens to other people, not me. And right. then what do? You're dead. And then you can't
make
excuses anymore because you're like, oh, wait a minute. I should have thought that, yeah, mixing all these drugs might have been bad because mixing drugs is bad.
Yeah, that's an angry, I mean, I can see how, I haven't really read anything about Petty's wife and daughter, but that would make me angry about that he had to take those. I mean, part of it too, he soldiered on through a really bad hip injury and just continued to play shows. And
yeah, but isn't that kind of where a lot of these start? Is like someone gets an injury and then they start taking the oxycodone, and then it's like, oh, well, then the oxycodone's making me depressed. Oh, well, here, just take some Prozac to go on top of the oxycodone. And
now
I can't
sleep
because I'm taking Prozac, which is an upper. Okay, we'll take this Ambien. Okay, good. Now I'm wandering around at nights, you know, buying fried chicken at Ralph's, and I don't even know that I'm doing it. I'm driving around.
Like Tiger Woods, for example.
Like Tiger Woods!
Yeah. It's lucky he didn't disappear.
Anyway, I don't want to get into the – that's all I have to say about that. But it's frustrating. And then so that happened with Roy Halladay. He had apparently he had morphine too in his system, but my understanding, what's being floated out there, is that this was not like recreational stuff. Okay. Like this was all for like pain management and then reactions to the pain management, which is all just very frustrating.
Yeah.
He had morphine, amphetamines, and Ambien in his system.
Seems to be a theme.
The amphetamines are to counteract the morphine.
Right.
Well, okay, well, what something other than morphine?
How about not taking either one?
Exactly.
They'll balance each other out.
Hey, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Right, yeah. It's the worst. I'd rather deal with the pain than take a dirt nap.
Exactly.
Let's see what else we've got. We talked a little bit about
Yelich. I think he'll get in. That's what I was
doing. Oh, okay.
I think he'll get into the Hall next
year.
I think Edgar gets in next year. I think Mussina might get a big push.
If he doesn't get in next year, he's going to get in and deserves to be in.
Yeah, he's great.
Let's see. So we talked about Halliday. We talked about Yelich. We talked about we started talking about Scott Boras and didn't really kind of go deep into it, but he's basically blaming the owners for holding on to their money and taking we'll just do what the Cubs and the Astros did. So we'll tank and we'll be crappy for a few years. We'll get a bunch of draft picks, trade off assets, and then rebuild.
Right. So he's complaining. He's calling it that the league must have fixed its non-competitive cancer, which is basically, I don't want to say they're tanking. The Astros tanked. They were just like, get rid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think teams realize that mediocre teams don't win the World Series except for the San Francisco Giants. Sorry, I had to get that in there. Can you believe they won three World Series? The first one, absolutely. That was a great team. And then those other two teams, like, you barely made it in the play. What? Anyway, the point being that the Royals, the Astros, and the Cubs, not necessarily in that order, have all won the World Series doing this rebuilding method. And so now all teams are going to do that. Even the Dodgers, to some degree, are doing that. They just also have a huge payroll from dumping players.
Mm-hmm.
But they dumped players in order to get, like, younger, cheaper assets.
Did they reacquire part of their old debt on Kemp when he came back to them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think they're on the hook to him for a pretty decent amount of money. But, again, it was spread out over 2 years, which is better for the cap for them.
So they wanted, basically it wasn't new debt, it was some old debt just coming back to him. So it reduced the commitment to him then, right? I guess.
No, they already had the old debt, and so they traded for the part of the debt that was remaining.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, kind of a mess over there. Kind of a mess. And where's he gonna wind up? Like, that's the other thing. Like, he's not gonna wind up playing for the Dodgers. Where's he gonna go? Where are they gonna dump him? But who wants him? Like, no teams want to, like, why pay an extra $8 million? And I'm a little concerned about teams to this degree. And I agree with Scott Boras, too. I don't agree with his wording. But, you know, player percentage of revenue is down to 40%. Everyone's making a fortune, so it's hard for the players to get too worked up. But it should be higher than 40%.
And he threw out a number of 17% of the teams are competitive. That's an awfully low number.
Well, that's Scott Boras talking out of his butthole. Like, half the teams are competitive. Like, look at Scott Boras wouldn't be counting the Brewers. And yet, here the Brewers are trading away three assets that could turn into all-star players. They're all top 100 players. The top 100 players can turn into all-stars. So they just traded away three top 100 players for one asset. Like, that's not giving up. That's not tanking.
No. And they're still in on Lorenzo Cain, too. Even despite picking up Yelich, they're still talking that he's still – Darvish and Cain are still a part of the conversation.
Yeah, what's their outfield then? It's Yelich, Santana, Braun. Oh, well, why would they get Cain?
Well, no, but that, I'm saying that I've read something just before we started recording that said that they're still in on him.
But where would he play?
The outfield.
But there's only three outfield spots, John. Help me out.
I know.
All right. I think that's someone being
stupid.
Well,
Broxton,
I think that's
Broxton is being pushed back as a result of Yelich coming on board. So, yeah, they do have a surplus there.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's erroneous. Also, they have – don't they have, like, Phillips? Brett Phillips, isn't he there?
You're the prospect king. You know more than me.
I think Phillips is there. Anyway, they have – they're not going to sign Lorenzo Cain. That would be weird. The only reason why you sign Lorenzo Cain is if you're – found someone to take on Ryan Braun, and in this market, who's going to take on Ryan Braun?
Right.
I'm not. Are you?
Right. Well, the Giants might.
I mean, look, we got room on the couch, but I don't think he's going to want that. I think he's
going
to want
baseball. I take that back. The Giants could be in on Lorenzo Cain, but they have no cap.
The Giants would definitely be in on Ryan Braun. Don't give me that. He's the perfect age and contract for them.
They get him, they might push Pence back to right and push McCutcheon back to center.
We're sure the Giants aren't trying to start an old-timers league.
It is.
Like, secretly, right?
As you said to me, they're giving life to the senior circuit.
Oh, right, yeah. Taking it seriously.
Very seriously. So we had another – there was another trade, kind of an under-the-wire trade, but it kind of talked about an expected
trade. Like this trade. Randall Grichuk from the Cardinals to the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
That just moves Grichuk up into the top 20 outfielders now. That's a home run dude in a home run park.
Yeah.
The Toronto, what is it, the Sky Dome, the Rogers Center?
Rogers Center.
Yeah. They do right-handed power plays big there. Speaking of which, by the way, Christian Yelich, left-handed power plays big in Milwaukee.
He's going to watch his numbers jump.
Yeah, watch him jump 20-25%. He hits too many grounders, though. That's his problem. Like, get it in the air, friend.
Yeah, well, especially he's going to work on his launch angle. I'm sure that's been part of his offseason program.
Hey-o. That's what she
said.
But
from a fantasy perspective, I'm thrilled that he was
traded. He just increased in value in fantasy.
Yeah, most definitely. Let's see. The Detroit Tigers are changing the old English D on their uniforms?
Yeah,
I hadn't heard about that. No.
Yeah, apparently this came out today, and I say apparently, it did come out today. I couldn't figure out what the hell they were talking about, John. I was hoping you could help me out here. So they're changing.
Why would they change
I just want to be able to say the D a bunch of times and then have like 10% of our audience snickering at home. Look, Detroit has a D, all right?
Bunch of D's.
A bunch of D's.
The old English D
the
sounds
the place
like
is lousy with D's, okay?
There's and, D's everywhere.
Yeah, there's D's everywhere. So, and look, some people just want the D, you know? And so this is an old English D, and I don't know whether they were saying they were modifying it to be more like the original, that it's been modified over time. And, like, I wanted, and I used to be in graphics. This is generally fonts and stuff. I look at movie posters and go like, oh, someone messed up on the spacing on that one.
Right.
Oh, look, they used the wrong apostrophe. Why do I care about this? my brain is broken.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. But anyway, so old English D. So either they're changing their logo. They don't like the D that they have, so they're getting themselves a new D. That's all I'm doing this for, John. It's just so I can make these D jokes.
Is the old English D, is it kind of a position? Is it a...
Well, it's got bad teeth.
And it wears a monocle? Oh, that's funny. Have you had enough D jokes?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good with the D?
Thanks, John.
You enjoyed the D?
I did. I enjoyed the D very much. Wait, what? Hold on, John.
Moving along, I didn't hear about this either. So some Vandals damaged the Field of Dreams location that is still there and still a place for people to come and enjoy.
Yeah, so it's still a site. A sightseeing stop.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I could tell from the photo that I saw, someone took a car out there, or a truck or whatever, and just did some donuts and screwed up all the sod. And because of the time of year where it was dry, but it had been wet, or it is wet and it had been dry or whatever, it just gnarled up the stuff. And no corn, though. I was like, wait a second. How is this Field of Dreams if there's no corn? Then I was thinking, you know what? Some dreams are nightmares. And basically, if you take the Field of Dreams field and you get rid of the corn and you have all the grass be dead and you have truck marks out on the field, it is no longer the Field of Dreams. No. It is the Field of Nightmares.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go and look for pictures to see what it looks like, because
the saddest thing about the whole thing is it still has those little wooden bleachers that little girl falls off of.
Yeah.
It's just, that's it. Just a little set of wooden bleachers. Like, oh,
well, I know they had the 25th anniversary of the film. The actors came back and, you know, they showed the movie on a,
did they come through the corn?
I don't think they did, but that would have been great.
How can you do a Field of Dreams reunion and not have all those people come out through the corn?
I think the corn was low at the time that they did it.
Ah,
so it was like knee high. So it wasn't.
Well, they could have crawled out or something. What?
But that was, I think, 3 or 4 years. 3 years ago? Oh, okay. 3 or 4 years ago? Yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they said if you build it, he will come. But not a lot of people came. Like, they show at the end of the movie, like, the long line of cars.
Yeah.
I don't know that was a regular occurrence.
No, but that was pretty iconic in filmmaking to have that shot at that time when they did that.
No special effects.
Yeah, it was
like that's cool. All like cars lined up. That's
okay,
incredible.
Turn on your lights.
Thing.
Let's do this.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Because if you see the shot too, John, if you see it, the cars are pulling up, right?
Yeah.
So then they have to time it just right to get the helicopter going up and get the cars just pulling up. You know what that means? Multiple takes, my friend.
Yes.
And so what that means is then they got to land the helicopter and they got to back all the cars back up to where to the first position and then start them going, get the helicopter up in the air, 2, 3, 4 takes like that. Drive you crazy.
Yeah, when my wife and I lived in South Florida, we were just happened to be in South Beach when they were filming the Birdcage, the movie down there.
Yeah.
And they were doing the opening.
For some reason, I knew you were going to say the Birdcage.
Did you? Really?
Yeah.
So the opening scene has this pan, or like the helicopter's shot coming in over the water into the downtown, or into the South Beach night.
Love that movie. Just watched it like a month ago. Absolutely.
So that open sequence lasts all of like maybe 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That opening shot. And they must have done like 10 takes. And every single time the helicopter came in, they had to send it back out and reset all the extras. And, you know, it's just like, we got to get it. They had tiki torches, which I was kind of like, really? Are they going to really show up on the film when the helicopter's zooming in and blowing them out? But they had to have every single time somebody went out and reset the tiki torches.
Right.
So, yeah, painstakingly long process.
Movie magic, man.
Yeah, to get the 5 second shot. So last thing on our list for headlines is Alex Rodriguez. He's moving on up from, was it TNT's broadcast?
I think it was on Fox.
Fox.
Yeah, weekly.
Yeah, and I just don't like the way that Fox handles that. It seems more like a circus. Well, I guess Sunday Night Baseball broadcast. So he's going to be on the broadcast team, not in studio.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So check this out. Alex Rodriguez, Matt Vasgersian, and I apologize, I can't remember her name. She's that lady that I thought was great.
She's done a great job.
Really great broadcaster. And I'm just not good at remembering names. I just remember the two guys' names because I think they're both dorks.
Vasgersian is a dork.
I think Vasgersian. I remember Matt Vasgersian used to do blackjack tournaments on FX, the local FX station. And I thought, this is the perfect level for this guy because he's got kind of a dorky voice, kind of like, hey, all right, this is pretty great stuff, guys. And then I heard him on doing an NFL thing or a baseball thing. I was like, how can no one hear that this guy sounds like a total dork? And here he is, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball.
Well, he did have a great call on the Rajai Davis home run. His was the one where he's like, Santa Maria. It was just like out of it was like, where did that come from? He's excitable,
though.
He's kind of
racist.
I enjoy him on the.
I'm going to tell you this right now. 3 hours of Alex Rodriguez, I know exactly where my mute button will be on my remote control.
But he is a baseball historian, so I think will bring a lot to the.
No.
No?
He's good in like the after show, like a little bit. Like, I take like 15 minutes, 3 hours of that guy.
See, but when you're watching the after show, you're also seeing his face. When you're listening to the game on while you're watching the game live, it's probably not, you're not going to have to see his face as much.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So you're just going to have to hear the dulcet tones of Alex Rodriguez.
And if it'd be Matt Vasgersian. I think he's got a double down on this this hand. Oh, is this baseball? That's my bad. Yeah, Santa Maria.
He does get excited. He's an excitable announcer for sure.
Yeah.
So that's it for headlines.
Bless his heart. Yeah, bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
What else we got?
We've got starting nine.
Oh, that's right. I was going to do like a segment this week, but I want to do like
this
whole
like. Yeah,
there
was something there before, and now it's gone.
I had two ideas. One was let's talk about the teams moving forward and what to expect. But we don't know what the teams are yet.
Right. There's still a lot
there's
of teams.
There's still so many good players available.
In,
completely change. Like the Brewers just completely changed their outfield.
Mm-hmm. And the Marlins just completely changed their farm system.
The Marlins actually.
They're getting better.
Four nice pieces.
Yeah, they're reloading.
And it just goes to show they do know what they're doing. They were just in a pinch with those two players they were trying to move.
Yeah, and I'm I've been a Marlins fan since 1993, day one. A big supporter of the Marlins, was a season ticket holder for 15 years. Yeah. I love this move. I love everything that they've done because they didn't have the money to spend for the pitching that they needed. When Fernandez went down, that was just a huge blow to the organization as a whole. And it's like, let's start over. Let's reset. And they're doing that. And it makes a lot of sense.
Wait, did you just say that when Jose Fernandez went down, it was a huge blow?
Yes, I did.
Because he was on cocaine, which is referred to as blow?
No, I wasn't thinking about that. But you were.
It was a huge yayo.
Yeah, I have not cried for a baseball player having, not crying, like sobbing, but tears in the eye type of thing when I heard about that. I loved Jose Fernandez.
He was a spectacular person and a spectacular athlete and apparently a spectacular coke fiend.
And a horrible boat driver.
And a horrible boat driver.
Too soon?
We can laugh about it now because Roy Halladay's dead. Right. He's taken the place. He's the last... last tragedy.
So let's move on to starting nine.
Okay.
And this is in honor of the newly announced retirement of Neil Diamond.
Yes. I also hear, by the way, that Elton John is considering...
Retiring?
Considering retiring from performing.
For the same reason?
I don't know if it's for the same reason.
Hmm. So Neil Diamond's Parkinson's, right?
Right. Unfortunately.
Yeah, which is, and he just wrapped up a tour, and he's like, 70, in his 70s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just.
Hell
he
of a performer. Just, love both these guys, Elton John, Neil Diamond. Their music is a big part of my creative process at times. Like when I want to just like switch my brain off and go kind of weird, I just get those guys going through. Really interesting. It's really easy to write comedy while listening to their music.
What's your go-to Elton John album?
Album? I don't have albums. I just have songs. Yeah.
Do you have an Elton John song? Or am I putting
Yellow Brick Road or Your Song.
Tiny Dancer? Tony Danza?
You know, I'm not a big Tiny Dancer fan because honestly, I can't stop thinking Tony Danza. Like, honestly, it's a mental defect, I understand, but every time I hear that song, it's Tony Danza.
Well, the album, the go-to album for me, and I'm a huge Elton John, or was back in the 70s when I was a youngin, is Captain Fantastic.
Okay.
That's an album that I can listen to start to finish. It's really good. Back in the day.
Did you ever hear that, did you ever see Moulin Rouge?
I did.
That thing they do with that Elton John song, with Your Song, is one of the most spectacular bits of filmmaking that anyone has ever done. And that film is spectacular.
It is. Great.
And but musically and visually, it's just one of the best things you'll ever see in film. Also, that reminds me of another great thing in film is the movie It's Kind of a Funny Story. They have an... a song, Under Pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They do a thing with that. Again, another piece of fantastic filmmaking. That one's lost in sort of an unknown film. But the Moulin Rouge, Your Song, I don't want to call it a montage, but sort of the thing they do for that.
Yeah.
Spectacular
and
film.
Ewan McGregor, and it's his voice. And obviously a little bit of work in the studio.
Yeah, a little sweetened, sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah, really incredible stuff.
Yeah, we're gushing over Ewan McGregor and Baz Luhrmann and Nicole
Sorry,
Kidman.
Straight guys.
They're like, get back to baseball. Well, before we do that, let's talk about Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond songs in honor of Neil Diamond using Major League Baseball players. Here we go. You ready?
Let's do it.
Sweet Carlos Correa Line.
Good. I like it.
Sweet Caroline, right?
Ba, ba, ba.
Yeah, exactly. Cracklin' Eddie Rosie. Wait. I'm trying to do Cracklin' Rosie, but it's Cracklin' Eddie Rosie Ario. Eddie Rosario. Okay. Amir Ika Garrett. They're coming to America. Garrett.
Today.
You Don't Bring Me Tyler Flowers. That was an easy one. I should have put that one first. I usually put the super easy one.
There's a process?
Yeah, I usually put the super easy ones first just because it takes me a while to get. Otherwise, I start stumbling over Eddie Rosario. Justin Turner, Your Heart Light.
Okay.
I couldn't find a heart or a light, so I had to extend. I think the song is just called Heart Light from
the
E.T.
movie.
That's
from E.T., right?
Anyway, yeah. Cherry Cherry Is Familia.
That's my favorite one.
Cherry Is Familia. Nolan Solitary Anato Man.
Okay, good.
Joe Love on the Ross.
That's good.
In honor of the Kristen Yelich trade, I am Isan Diaz.
Okay.
Instead of I am. Mm-hmm. All right. I said. Anyway. All right. Girl, You'll Be a Woman, Shin Soon Chu.
He's back.
Boom. 5 weeks in a row.
I think it's six.
Six weeks in a row.
I think it's 6 weeks. Listeners, you can check us on that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get a fact check on that. Otherwise, we'll give it hashtag fake news.
Fake starting nine. And I'm sure that was the last one because that was the best one.
That was the last one, yeah.
Okay. So no intermediate thing this week. We'll move right along. We'll wait for players to sign, and hopefully we'll get some action out of Boris's clan of several. I mean, he's got seven stars in his
It's the
stables.
Weirdest thing. You know what it's like? It's like a castaway, and they're just scratching the days off on the cave wall.
Right. It's don't know where I'm going to live. Don't know where I'm going to be driving to or
here
flying
we all are
to.
Just, here we all are just waiting for these free agents to sign. I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy.
And it must be tough, too, for, I don't want to say bench players. But
John, it's tough for me.
It is.
Okay?
That's all it really
it's
matters.
It's tough for me. That's all I care about.
But just the players who are waiting for that place to be filled so they have a better idea of what their opportunity is going into spring break. That's brutal.
Yeah.
Spring training. That's brutal, too.
Yeah, they're trying to bang chicks and get some beers going for spring break.
And a little bit of the blow.
Hey, down in Miami.
And the old English D, too.
When in Rome.
Okay, extra innings. A little look outside of what's going on. A little look outside of the baseball world.
Yes.
What's going on?
Yes,
outside?
Because we don't normally go outside the world of baseball. We very much constrict ourselves.
We color within the lines.
10-minute conversations about Moulin Rouge. Yes. Let us now explore the world outside of baseball.
So I have to ask your opinion on the Patriots game.
Oof.
So, obviously, another great comeback, but I think you're a Patriots fan too, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Do you give any credence to the refs not calling a even-handed game?
I think that sometimes refs call unbalanced games, but I don't feel like it's ever collusion.
And I agree with that.
I do feel like there are times when, veterans get the benefit of the doubt. and younger guys don't get the benefit of the doubt. And there are some refs that respond differently at home for the home team than the away teams.
It was just another one of those games, though, too, where it's like
they don't win the game without the refs. I will easily concede that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a couple of questionable calls and a couple of no calls that, you know, I don't want to say they were ticky-tacky, but there were calls that were made on the Jaguars that should have also been. But one of the things about the NFL is that there is a penalty on every single play of every single game. It's just a matter of the degree of getting away with it, or it's not being seen, or are the refs that day letting the game be played a little bit more loosely. It just is, you know, a lot of that's taken into consideration. But to have only one penalty called over the course of a 60-minute game is a little bit...
It's flukish, but this is not a league that has, like... This is a league that's gone out of its way to punish the Patriots. So I don't want to hear about how they're giving them... They're trying to help them out. Like, all that Deflategate stuff, when all came down, was just, like, just a bunch of hot air. Yes, pun intended.
Well, wait until they come out with RefGate. They're gonna find that there was collusion, and that's going to be...
It's always unfortunate, though. You know, like, refs are an important part of the game, but you really want to never think about them, and when you do, it sullies everything.
Well, that was another one of those games, a tale of two halves.
But also, here's an idea, Jaguars. Get a first down.
Right.
It's not like the Patriots' defense was the Jaguars' defense.
Yeah, and to me, that's the thing that just blows my mind when I watch some of these games is, okay, it's 3rd and 8, or let's say it's 2nd and 12.
Okay.
Get 6 or 7 yards.
Right.
Not 30.
You don't have to get 30, exactly.
Right. I just don't understand that. I don't understand that call on although if the ball was thrown maybe, you know, 3 feet higher, they would have scored, at least had a first down on that one play that pretty much turned the tide on that fourth down play. But then again, you had Brady who threw, you know, a 3rd and 18 play that was, you know, that's a play on the field. That's not the refs taking it away. So that's something
you
see that.
The Patriots are in the last 10 years, the Patriots are 3-4 going into the fourth quarter down by 10. They've won 3 out of the 7 games. The rest of the league is 3-70.
Yeah, well, it seems like that's what they want. You know, like, oh, we're down 10. Got them right where
Belichick
we want them.
Belichick makes second half adjustments, and the team is clearly better prepared for a 60-minute game than its opponents.
Yeah, and the Jags, I think, were really happy with, obviously, they kneeled down to end the half when there were still, 45, 50 seconds left, and they could have attempted to get 3 or 4 plays and into field goal range, but they didn't even try that.
Right.
That they were like, our defense playing well. We'll just come out and we'll take care of business in the second half. And they didn't.
Right.
They dominated the first half and
did
not look like the same team in the second half.
Right. But, you know, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that about a Patriots opponent.
Yeah. You got to play full 60.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you a little trick about betting on the Patriots. Bet against them in the first half.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. And I know with the Super Bowl, there's a whole bunch of different things that you can bet on.
Yeah.
And maybe that's one of them. Bet against the Pats. I think it's going to be a relatively easy win for them.
I mean, here's the thing. There's no way the Eagles can play as well next week as they did last week because they played perfectly last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they were going up against a team in the Vikings that was a superior team but who had clearly left everything out on the field the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly they had nothing left after that victory.
I thought the Jaguars had a better chance of beating the Patriots than the Eagles had of beating the Vikings.
Yeah, you said as much last week.
Yeah.
And I think we both felt that the Vikings were the superior team. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about who's going to win the game, the Eagles have home field, and Nick Foles was basically perfect.
Yeah,
and he will not be perfect. And that doesn't say that he's going to be bad. But he's not going to be perfect, and he will need to be perfect.
But as he said at the end of the game, he had God on his side, so he had that going for him.
Is that because when there were only 2 footsteps behind him?
Correct.
That was when God was throwing the football? I don't know.
Yeah. So speaking of more football, it looks like Vince McMahon is revving the engine up. I don't know if it's going to be the XFL, but it's going to be off-season football.
2020.
I haven't. I heard. Is it going to be the XFL again?
But yeah,
it is. Okay.
XFL. Yeah.
So this
2020,
same similar brand, similar style.
I'm not saying 2020 like he has good vision. Oh. I mean the year 2020.
It's right around the corner.
I'm interested.
No, it was.
How can you not do it? It's the most popular sport in the country. How can it not work?
No, it definitely it will work. It's just a matter of dollars and cents and building the brands. And I remember when they first started talking about it way back when they did it, it was like, oh no, there's just not enough of an appetite. Well, fast forward 20 years later, or not quite 17 years later, there's football 24/7 on TV now. ESPN is pretty much the NFL network.
Right.
They constantly
and there is shows. An appetite for combat, for destructive confrontations. I'm not talking about Twitter here,
right,
John. I'm talking about getting out there on the field. I'm talking about concussions. Like, let's lay it all out there. I'm interested. I always, year-round sports is great. I mean, I'll be watching baseball in the summer, so if they have a summer or a spring league or whatever, sure.
Sure, I'll watch. Why not?
Keep track of it just like I keep track of hockey.
And soccer.
No, I don't keep track of soccer. I said sports, John, football. Just like I keep track of other sports, not recreational activities. Like I don't keep track of the local badminton tournament.
I do.
Okay.
Bowling? How about bowling? Chris Schenkel.
No. Not unless Mookie Betts is bowling.
Oh, Mookie Betts. He of the 300 game.
That's right.
Okay. Oscar nominations.
Yes.
They came out in Shape of Water, which I'm going to go and see on Saturday. I have not seen yet. Is led the way with 13.
I have seen none of the movies.
I've seen The Post.
Isn't that weird?
And
this is the first time this has ever happened to me. I have seen none of the movies.
Will you be seeing any of the movies?
Probably.
So you really have not much you can offer, right?
Yeah, I just thought, we'd say they came out and I would say like, oh, hey, yeah, cool. All right.
Snubs. There were some snubs.
There were snubs. I thought it was interesting that Spielberg didn't get a director nomination, but Greta Gerwig did for her little comedy film, which usually they don't give best director for a comedy film. But again, this is the day and age where they're trying to get more diversity. So.
Right. Don't devalue her nomination.
No, she got nominated because she's a woman. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with being woman or being nominated.
No, there's nothing wrong with her being nominated because she's a woman.
But it's not because she directed a good film?
I think it's she directed a good film.
As a woman.
And she's a woman.
Okay. So she was worthy?
But she got nominated because she's a woman. Not because, let's just randomly pick a woman. Are you telling me that there's better directing in that comedy film than in blank movie? Like, no,
I haven't seen
it
yet, so I don't know.
You'll see.
I'll wait until I see the film. But my son saw it and he said it was great.
I'm sure it's quite good. And I'm speaking from not having seen any of the films, but I do know that there was a big push this year to like, we got to get that diversity. Got to get that diversity. So of course they're going to like, I got to vote. I got to vote on five directors. Let's make one of them a woman.
And one of them black.
Was one of them black?
Jordan Peele.
I don't see colors, John.
Forget Out.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. That movie got best director?
Best director and best film.
Oh my God. What is wrong with this country? This is ridiculous. This is absolutely...
It's
Trump. But again, diversity, right?
It's Trump's America.
This is... You know what? Now I'm angry that Trump got elected.
It's all his fault.
I really don't care. But anyway, whatever. Award shows are kind of weird anyway, but...
But everybody loves them.
It's kind of arbitrary. The weirdness is just how arbitrary it is and then how important it is until it happens and then it's over and then no one cares.
Right, and it's just like... Gear up the machine for next year. Start all over again. But Dunkirk did. You haven't seen Dunkirk yet?
No, I can't get my wife to watch it.
Really?
She hates war movies. She hates war movies.
This is such a good movie, though.
I'm so excited to see that movie, and I just can't figure out a way to do it myself. So.
Seen it twice in the theaters and once at home.
I mean, it looks spectacular.
It is. It's so good. She'll enjoy it.
I saw Blade Runner recently, and I thought that looked gorgeous.
Good. Yeah.
It looked gorgeous.
A little weak on the
storytelling, but man, visually, cannot fault that.
Got a lot of technical award noms for that.
Great. Good for them. They deserve it.
Okay, last but not least, one of your favorite families.
Yes.
The Kardashian clan. So I don't even know what this means, but I'm sure you can shed some light on Kylie Jenner's comments about her soon-to-be-born baby? I don't know how far along is she.
Oh, I don't know. It's soon though, right? It's
I don't know.
Asking you. Okay. I mean, what's interesting to me is she's planning for extreme privacy after the baby is born.
And what is exactly extreme privacy versus privacy?
So they're going to cut the traveling photographer staff in half.
Oh, geez.
They will only have 32 photographers around her at any given time. But when we say after the baby is born, she does mean 3 years after.
Oh, okay. So she's gonna
once all the interest has sort of died down and the terrible twos or whatever,
right,
then they're going to cut the staff. So let's be very clear.
For a couple
weeks,
they're
cutting a giant staff. That's what extreme privacy is.
Yeah, because you don't.
That means, they'll still be going on the red carpet and they'll still be going to fashion shows and they'll still be, be out at Spago and, in the places to be seen, award shows, of course, still doing all that, but a little more private, in some aspects.
I can't wait.
They're just the worst people.